on. But we have
just started.
So personally, I think it's coming from headquarters, from either Mark, we're going to turn our time over to Mark for a minute. But the issue is, we're supposed to think whether these proceedings are being recorded.
When Rick Daniel got a couple of what appeared to be semi-foreign letters from the district property owners up there called Eddie. Pointed to one of them, and then I got one letter myself. Harry Barber had said, BLM, that the road maintenance on the student body road was the county responsibility. And so when I heard that, I asked Linda and then Shauna to get a hold of BLM. That's all me here today.
I'm not able to hear anything that's going on. This is John.
I can come closer to the phone. Is that any better?
Yeah, that's better.
RS 2477 was granted for a period of 110 years. However, it was grandfathered. All previous rights away established by October 21st, 1976 were grandfathered in. They were protected. RS 2477 rights away operated 30 years. In the mid 90s, a patient package to the Congress passed. The action to that was to simply issue a directive, ignore ours, which is That began the first controversy. It wasn't the county, it wasn't the states, it was the federal government that created this conflict. When litigation started over federal RS 2477 rights away, the courts had to turn to previous state cases where state or county had to litigate on federal land, the land was later patented, there was a lawsuit, now it's private. So there was no litigation over RS 2477 in the federal courts. Bell policy. Bell policy. Then, of course, the monument was designated in 96. The monument plan was... Okay. Monument. As we don't know if the county has any rights away in the monument or not. If they do, those rights away would have to be determined. County was going to select their top 20. I was in that process of developing that list. Citizens filed a lawsuit against the commission and Bowers for their stadium. Almost shortly after that,
sheriff. Although the state, they're going to take down the sheriff for all of the state. Only in Kane County, because they got word that they were putting up signs in their county at a meeting with Kane County. That meeting was reported and published in the Garfield County News. Then no one said turn, he took it. Our commission allowed it. At my fifth office, I was over all of them. Wrote a letter to Jay Hunsaker, wrote parity with Garfield County, maintain the status quo prior to the planning implementation. August. For the purpose of letting the federal government know that we were serious, create a legal situation wherein they would take action against the Kane County Commission. Property of the truck down the road. Oh. Although it did go to a grand party to the lawsuit, had we prevailed, the vote would have been. Didn't want to know that. So, we didn't remove any more signs. We took that one-time shot. That was our intent. The federal government didn't take action against it. Then we passed noise fee ordinance allowing ATV travel on the road, consistent with the monument law. Then we posted the road. Again, did not take any action against the they, in the meantime, in pursuing their quiet title strategy, state kinds of problems, you have to work with the state. But it mired down, and it never did file massive statewide title action. And so we went along that way for a period of probably a year or better with our competing signs. BLM was telling people, like in the Freya River, you can't drive the Freya River. They're intimidating people not to travel the road. When we filed our lawsuit against the monument plan, they took down a lot of their aggressive. They made arguments in the monument suit that the county's only challenging the provisions of a monument plan. They haven't taken any actions that harm the county. And the three-judge panel bought that argument and dismissed the suit, not ratifying the monument plan as the BLM is now contending, but because the county didn't meet the burden of showing harm and injury to specific roads. Most importantly, the voting society of SUA then filed a lawsuit against King in, I believe, 2005. They had the fortune to draw Judge Tina Campbell. Judge Tina Campbell was the same judge on the BLM lawsuit that went on for about 10 years because in 1996, when the BLM canceled the maintenance agreements, quit recognizing RS-2477. San Juan, Garfield, and Kane all went out with their road crews and brightened up the county roads, again, to entice federal litigation way back in 96. And again, the BLM didn't take action, but SUA filed a lawsuit against BLM, and then the BLM subsequently lawsuit by the SUA against the county. They have very onerous administrative determination of ours to consider the rights away. And similar to Babbitt's package, you started to get Congress signed. That lawsuit, ruled by Judge Tina Campbell, that all of the 16 rows, that none but Studenpaw was an RS-2477. Studenpaw, the only issue on remand, did the county act within its scope of right of way? Okay. That decision was appealed to the 10th Circuit. Judge McConnell was the justice that wrote the decision, very favorable to the county. Overturned Judge Campbell, in fact, admonished her for abusing the court's discretion and unduly referring. That's important because she doesn't understand RS-2477. It's biased. So when I say that Sue and the Lawrence side were fortunate to draw her, they were. Because he cut and paste justice for the attorneys that represent Sue and the Lawrence side. He cut and paste her argument into her decision that King County has no rights away on federally managed lands until they go quiet time. And we carry the burden of proof. And that means the only resolution of a title dispute on federal lands is quiet time. Judge McConnell ruled in 2005 that roads established by October 21st, 1976 shall continue in the status quo regarding use and maintenance, and that regarding maintenance, the county need not even advise the BLM of its maintenance. But if it wants to improve a road, then it needs to allow the BLM an opportunity to review the proposed improvement, whether it's reasonable and necessary for the valid existing right-of-way. Shall not delay or threaten the county's rights-of-way through delay or denial of process. But we immediately after that, or shortly after that, we filed for these NBDs, non-binding determination, administrative determination, on Bald Knoll Mill Creek, because they had issued a third-party Title V to Brent Robinson claim. Hell, we said, you can't issue a third-party Title V. So we filed the NBD. BLM stonewalled this for 3 years. Had it, played with it, but they never came forward with a final determination. Last year in June, Judge Campbell's injunction went into effect. Prohibiting the county from placing any signs contrary to the monument plan. That, well, you might reenact it. He presented the unintended consequences to Judge Campbell and tried to explain a way out of it by saying, well, the injunction doesn't say what you said it says, but that's not the point. The point is that her one-leg ruling supporting the injunction was that King County has no rights away on roads across federally managed lands until we go quiet. Otherwise, she couldn't issue the injunction. Party to the lawsuit, one less Jewel, Garfield's maintaining rules. As a party to the lawsuit, he is directly bound by her ruling, and you don't have any jurisdiction until you go quiet time. That's not my opinion. That's our attorney's opinion. And so that's why we currently have no jurisdiction in King County. And only a shadow of that, because since then, Judge Jenkins and Judge Kimball have ruled, based on Judge Campbell's ruling, the counties have no jurisdiction unless they go quiet time. Emory County and in Garfield County and Kane in the monument lawsuit, two others have opted that ruling. Counties have no RS-2477 unless they appear quiet time. We notified the BLM last June, and we had no jurisdiction. Without jurisdiction, we're subject to civil and criminal penalties for pushing dirt on federal Indian land. Got some Title V's, and you know that without those Title V's, you can't go out and do anything on federal land. We're the same way. But to go out there on these roads today without federal authorization would be no different than the county going out and running the blade up and then up the Meadow Canyon Road. You wouldn't appreciate that. We don't have authority to do that. You don't want to give it to us. So we advised the BLM and the Canyon NRA that we have no jurisdiction. We've been ejected from the road. That responsibility and liability for the roads is consistent with jurisdiction and authority. And since it was now all in the hands of the federal government, they now bore responsibility and liability to maintain, regulate, manage the roads in all respects. And we haven't maintained fairly managed roads since that time. We did issue a policy that if anybody was stranded due to a washout or a landslide or whatever, stranded on a road on fairly managed land, because we do have a public safety responsibility, search and rescue, the sheriff's office, that we would respond with our road crew to get the people out. But we would not bring the road back to its previous condition. Do enough work to get the people out. We figure that's a minimal risk, you know, to have people stay. We issued that. We haven't had to act under that one. What happened is this summer, and I think you all experienced it, what we found was going, because we asked the BLM to coordinate with us on snow removal, because now we've got segments of roads that go from county, where it's private or state, to federal. And we don't have authority to maintain the whole road, just our segment. The BLM didn't meet with us. People started running into transitions from our maintained snow removal to federal snow removal that wasn't maintained and was frankly very dangerous. So we developed a policy that we would remove snow from federally managed lands specific to that road and that storm when the commission deemed it to be a public safety crisis. And we did that. We did that all last winter, and I think it really improved the situation. But the thinking there is, we're pushing snow off the federally managed lands to protect the public safety. We're not pushing federal purpose. So, the federal initial response is, you can take Title V. And I'll spend as much time as you want talking about Title V's, but the Title V is a lesser right-of-way. The previous commission was enjoined from doing that now. Title V's are for post-1976 roads, not to resolve property rights that you've already got. The reason they want us to take Title V's is we only get them on the roads they want open, and it amounts to free maintenance of a federal road. They maintain all of the management jurisdiction bound by their terms and conditions. If you read your terms and conditions, that's all you can do. And so we're going to court instead of falling back we've taken several Title V's. They took some Title V's in the past, but when the representative Noel was with BLM, and R-277 wasn't an issue. They John Canyon was a Title V. We're going to turn that in. We're going to turn in most of our Title V's within the next week or two, because there's no sense in operating a little short Title V when it's a federal road on either side of it. And we believe that when we go quiet title on Johnson, that we'll get that improved paved area through the canyon as within the scope of the valid existing right-of-way. So we declined a flip the Title V solution to all the roads. they said maintenance agreement. You know, but you read your maintenance agreement, and it's a federal jurisdiction maintenance agreement where you maintain our road under our terms and conditions. It even went so far as to say that on your D roads, you will do any necessary repairs with hand tools unless we give you permission. With hand tools.
What is a D road classification?
A D road is those little two-track roads that aren't routinely maintained. They're only repaired, B roads. You know. The B roads are the ones that we maintain twice a year. Or if they have a particular problem, we go out and fix it. But generally, we get to them about twice a year to blade them.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good, B roads.
So the road between Philadelphia and Burlington is maintained by shovel and by hand.
Well, all the little D roads that aren't the big bladed roads, they wash out and they have problems from time to time. And so we can go in with a backhoe or whatever and repair them. And what this federal maintenance agreement says is you'll only do it with hand tools.
Gotcha.
So it's all about federal controls. So we said we're not interested in flipping Title V. We're not interested in federal jurisdiction maintenance agreements. And then they said that you get payroll funding and you get billed. And we simply responded, payroll funding is state funds to take care of county roads. We don't take care of county roads. We don't take care of federal roads with state and county funding. And in fact, we're required to certify a jurisdiction to spend that money on the road. Again, we use Meadow Canyon. Let's say you all said our graded road pass. If you come up and just make a run up Meadow Canyon Road, so we can't send our crew out to do it if we can't certify jurisdiction. We could arrange a compensation situation, but we can't use the funding. So we can't use that funding to maintain federal roads. And then they said, but get federal PILT money. That's payment of the tax money. And again, we said simply, that's county money to spend on county purposes. We don't get federal PILT funding that offsets your impact to our tax structure and then spend the money on your infrastructure. So then we had the meeting that I think Larry referenced,
right,
one of the other of you. Mm-hmm. We had a commission meeting to talk about this whole issue with Renee
Burkhouse.
Yeah, and Harry Barber and Larry Crutchfield. And so we began this discussion and kind of worked through what I've presented up to this point. And there was a point where I asked Renee, the mining manager, what is our jurisdiction to maintain roads on the Grand Staircase? And he said, kind of haltingly, well, it's what it's always been. And I said, Renee, that's RS 277. I said, then you'll issue the county a recognition of our RS 2477 rights away. Well, he couldn't answer that. So Larry Crutchfield came in and said, well, it's the maintenance agreement. And I said, what maintenance agreement? And he said, well, the maintenance agreements we've always had. And I said, are you talking about the maintenance agreements from the 70s? And he said, yes. So Larry said, yes, it's those maintenance agreements. And I said, my understanding is that the federal government revoked those maintenance agreements in the mid-90s. He said, well, we can't find any record of that. So they're still in operation, and that's the basis the county should be maintaining. I said, well, let me research that. So our attorney, Sean Welch, provided me with two affidavits, one from Brian Bremner from Garfield County, one from Lynn Pratt from our county, and one from a recently retired BLM employee from San Juan County that put together these maintenance agreements before he retired, and he was told shortly after his retirement that federal attorneys had revoked the maintenance agreements as of being unlawful. That's in the mid-90s when they were getting away from RS 2477, see. And so I sent these two affidavits in the declaration to Larry and Renee. I sent you guys a copy of them today. And in the cover letter, I said, you know, this documentation should prove that the maintenance agreements were canceled by federal action. If you have evidence that they have continued since then, and you'll provide that to us, and if it's persuasive, then we'll provide you with the 30-day bailout, revocation, because that's provided in there. And when Brian Bremner asked for that 30-day written revocation, they said there won't be anything in writing for just revoking it, being involved. So there's no operation of the maintenance agreement. So now they have very little in their ammo box to say the county was obligated to maintain. And the point is, the federal government needs to get out there and start taking care of their roads. That's the issue. And until just recently...
Let me read that real quick. Can therefore mutually agree that the county will be responsible for the maintenance of the existing Class B road system attached as right-of-way U53767, which is recognized by the Bureau under RS 2477. That's how come they were able to do the road back in the 70s. That's what it was. That was revoked when, during that statement in the mid-90s, was when, and we have that documentation in court, and they said that it had been scrapped. So there is nothing under RS 2477, so that's why they're saying they can't maintain them without having that jurisdiction.
Well, and Brian Bremner did an affidavit that Jim Parker, the then state director, was in the just in the early 90s, was in the process of doing administrative determinations that would have resolved approximately 80% of the RS 2477 rights to maintain Garfield County. He was told to stop and all that work disappeared. So, I mean, so in the mid-90s, Babbitt said, we're going to get rid of RS 2477. That, I mean, that's what happened. Yeah, so they were out of ammunition to say the county needs to be out there maintaining the roads. And you see, what they want, they need control of the roads because they don't want to have to go to court to close the roads. Because they want additional wilderness, and wilderness, by definition, is roadless. And so they don't want the complication of recognizing the county's rights away. Just like I think you all know, they don't want the complication of pinholes, private property within the monument. You know, the Brown Ranch and the Johnson Ranch have two short accesses into them off major county B roads. Neither of those roads appears on this map. And the access to the Brown Ranch is about a 10-mile circuitous road that goes through deep sands and gullies. And when Warren Brown asked them about it, they say, come in and get a Title V. So they control the access to the private property, so they can force the inholders to sell to the federal government at some point. A monument lawsuit involved water rights. Mike Noel, you know, Representative Noel, is executive director of the Kingston Water Conservancy District. He joined Kane and Garfield counties in that monument lawsuit. They 4 years ago, they applied to an existing water well to bring the water out to Johnson and down for community use. And the BLM stonewalled them for 4 years, so they included it in the lawsuit. The BLM, I understand that, because we filed an en banc, which is an appeal to the whole panel of the Tenth Circuit, and they are taking a second look at that monument lawsuit decision, so it could turn around in our favor. But they've since, they're in the process now, at least they're telling the court, they're in the process of issuing the Water Conservancy the Title V to bring the pipeline out. You see how important Title V are? You know, they can manipulate it. So when the letter started coming from Deer Springs to BLM or to Representative Noel or to me, I got word that Harry said, well, it's the county or county responsibility. And the one letter said that they gave permission to the county.
That's right.
And then Larry, I think, just recently told one of you that the county should apply for Title V. Is that right?
He just told me that it is the county's responsibility to take care of the roads.
Okay.
Under the way things are done.
And so so I wanted him here today because I'll talk to you as long as you want to talk. And I'll get, we've got documentation on the website. I can provide more. I mean, I and we at the county are completely open on this issue. There's absolutely no relationship, agreement, responsibility, or liability to Kane County regarding federal roads located on federal lands.
In those minutes, because we went and looked back up, it said that they were asking for a disclaimer of interest. And Harry Barber made the statement. He said maybe they could look at the issue and find a way to help the public, is what they're saying. Which that means they would give us some kind of on RS-2477. But then they got shot down again, because I'm sure that when it goes back to the state, that they're the ones that are getting the pressure from the drain side. You know, every time they turn around, they get sued. Just like the oil things are happening right now, the gas prices. They get sued, and so all of a sudden they reverse their decision. So that's we're in all in a battle, in a legal battle of clarification, and we're hoping by then pushing the BLM that statewide. That we can put enough pressure, just like the environmental groups are doing, to say, hey, this is our property. You can't just come and take it. This is what it is. And we need to stand up and be counted instead of letting them get their voice heard over us. We really need to be counted. We need to be heard. We need to be a voice. And we need to get behind and push, just like the other groups. Yeah,
how can one cabinet member be authorized to rescind an existing law without going through a legal process?
Yeah.
Look at Obama.
He of course didn't technically rescind the law. What he did is just paid for these directions. In other words, the memo actually said, we're not going to consider RS-247 except in very extreme and compelling circumstances. That's what it said. They always like this policy of February is really important. And you have a copy of that. It's also on our county website. And so this relates to, because this is now Salazar, right? And it said, this is from an acting director in BLM, pending further review and direction. So that's a protection, because they say it's not a final decision, and you can't act judicially unless it's a final decision, so it's a legal nuance. But it says, has been directed not to process or review any claims under RS-2477, including the use of the disclaimer rule. Now, the disclaimer rule is a recordable disclaimer of interest that's in FLIPMA. And what it does is it's a quick claim deed from the federal government to the county. All they have to do is look at our evidence, issue us a quick claim deed. It's called a recordable disclaimer of interest. And that's the end of the RS-2477 conflict. We don't have to go to quiet title. We don't have to spend millions of state and county money and millions of federal money litigating each and every road. You know, it gives us a quick claim deed.
Yeah, when I talked to Larry, he said the only way this can be resolved is through the courts.
Yeah. They're just dug in. But there's another two paragraphs that are even more important, and it goes right to, you know, the evasion, how they do it. It says, on February 20th, 2009, the acting director on behalf of the secretary, that's Salazar, issued a memorandum directing all BLM offices to not process or review any claims under RS-2477, including the use of the disclaimer policy, or rule. This policy is effective immediately and is not a final agency decision of RS-2477 claims. So they're saying, we're not harming and injuring your claims under the law. See, but we're not dealing with it administratively. So that's the way they do it. And but then it said, do not delay valid requests for access. BLM has encouraged county and state governments to process the road authorization under FLTMA right-of-way. That's FLTMA Title V, the permitted use. So what it says is to process the road authorization. In other words, your road authorization, the ultimate jurisdiction would be not a easement property interest right-of-way that the county holds. That would be a permitted use that the BLM could take away from you, modify at any time. That's what they're fighting for. The BLM doesn't administratively recognize a single RS-2477 right-of-way in the entire nation. They processed them in the past. They've revoked them all. They've never done a reportable disclaimer of interest. That would be a final title. But the administrative determination that I mentioned earlier, that's not final. That's a non-binding determination. They've revoked all those that they've done in the past. Any recognition of RS-2477 previous, revoked them.
I have to say a couple more things. RS-2477s are no place east of the Mississippi River. Everything is only managed lands. The only managed lands is only in the west. There are none back east. And that's so that they can control our land. If they take away the road, then we, if you build in this area, and that's what the thruway is about, is to turn it into wilderness area so we can't live out where we want to go. We would have to be confined to fit. That's the main purpose, to get rid of those roads. And that's why we're saying, you know, it's just like, remember the road that went down to Long Rock? And the county built that road. Then all these years comes along this National Park Service, decides that they're going to put a toll bridge. It's like going out here on the highway, and they just put a toll bridge on a road to your house. If you recognize that and you give them money, then guess what you're doing? You're saying, okay, you want it, here, we'll be paying. And that's what they're doing to us on the road. And then when they decide that you can't drive there anymore, then they shut it down and they put a block across it and say, okay, this is no longer a road. But if we recognize that they own those roads, then we've just given up our rights. And that's why the Hills is again. We can't do that or we no longer have control. We lose all that control of our own roads, of our own access to our property.
This is a federal sign on student law, and so the point of that is that it's a federal signpost, that's a federal road number, those are federal restrictions. That's a federal road. That's not a county road. And so it's a federal responsibility to take care of that road. And let me just make one other quick point, then I'll... What I want to say on student paw, this is Judge Campbell. We did a specific summary judgment on student paw road because remember the 10th Circuit Court recognized RS-2477 validity on your road student paw, right? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So we did, and that was Judge Campbell that the BLM administratively said it's an RS-2477. Judge Campbell said it's an RS-2477. The 10th Circuit said, on remand, the only issue remaining is scope, not validity. So we get a motion for summary judgment. Surely Judge Campbell would say, yeah, student law is an RS-2477. Here's what she said. Hayne County's motion for summary judgment as the ownership of student law in the Windmill Road is problematic for three reasons. First, the United States, which holds title to the public land absent a court adjudication that the county has a valid existing right, is not a party to this suit. And then her clarification, or attempt at a clarification, did not change the district court's order finding that King County had no valid existing RS-2477 right-of-way, including the express finding that the county does not have any right-of-way for the open Coosa Pond Road. Her injunction was about closed roads, restricted roads, but she ruled. We did a motion for summary judgment. Surely, Judge, recognized Coosa Pond, RS-2477. She said King County has no right-of-way on Coosa Pond.
Commissioner, let me ask you this, because, and I know you're sick of this as much as I am, and it's got to be resolved sooner or later, but let me ask the questions, because the more that members understand and why what's happened in the past, I hope it helps. I'm frustrated to think that it doesn't. Here's the questions, and mainly my third question, because what should happen, number one, and what could happen, number two, I'll skip because the main question that is in my mind is, I'm expecting as a Kane County taxpayer and as you as my representative that you're saying Scootin' Pod Road is RS-2477, owned, built, and has been maintained by the county for the last 60 years. I'm afraid now, you and I talked, I came to you as a representative from the board back in November, December, we talked about that, and at that time we were hoping we would get a favorable ruling from the 10th District Court, which didn't happen here in the last couple of months. Now that we've got these signs posted, we're going on now over a year of the county not maintaining roads. The only reason we can say that we own the roads, that we have RS-2477 claims, by saying, like we have the last 50 years in this last 10, 15 years of this battle. We built the roads, we've been maintaining them, we own the roads, we have the right to continue to. Now, in the last year, voluntarily, we've thrown up our hands and said, okay, Judge, what's her name? Campbell told us that they're not ours, so okay, we're not going to maintain them, and I think that that's super detrimental. Pretty soon, the wilderness people are going to say, hey, Kane County, the judge over here told you didn't own them, and you quit maintaining them, and so that really carries a screams loud and clear that you've now quit maintaining. I still think if we say we own them and we're going to fight for them, I say we have the money, we have the manpower, but we keep maintaining them until the federal government sends out military to stop it. I mean, sooner or later, I think that we've gone. Tell me where I'm wrong in saying, are we now losing some of our credibility by not maintaining them? Not to mention the day-to-day use and the inconvenience and the safety hazard is starting to become for Kane County members.
Yeah, and I didn't forget to have a question. Let me just try to answer this one. We maintain the roads. That doesn't mean we have the jurisdiction. The jurisdiction is what we're fighting for. The maintenance, the ability to maintain comes from jurisdiction and authority over the road. It doesn't become... Because if I went to Renee and said, would you mind if we bladed the Scootin' Pod Road? He'd say, no, have at it. But we still can't do it under Bureau of Funding. You see, it's not, in other words, it's too simplistic an analysis. Because you can't just go out and maintain a road without having jurisdiction and authority to maintain.
We've already lost the
jurisdiction. Let me ask you this.
It depends on who you believe. I believe we have jurisdiction. We own the roads. If we own the roads, we have jurisdiction.
Not if you're being lost.
I don't... Look, these things are very...
Federal grand jury.
Not when a federal judge says specifically regarding Scootin' Pod Road, you have no jurisdiction. We have now gone, we filed quiet title on this, right? And the federal government is opposing us that there's no case of controversy on it. And we're just now, today, but that was the attorney issued an affidavit from me, we're just now filing a response back that there's been controversy. So we're going after titles of Scootin' Pod Road. Like I mentioned, we filed an en banc petition back that the 10th Circuit was inconsistent in its monument lawsuit. The three-judge panel issued an order for the BLM and the environmentalists to supply a brief to the court. They just did that. So the monument lawsuit isn't dead. You know, we got a chance, the three-judge panel will reassess. We've got a chance to reassess it. May 6th, we had an oral argument for the Society of EK. That's Campbell decision. Other than that decision, and the little gal May P from Colorado, I posted her report on it. And Judge Campbell was talking to Jim Angel, the environmental attorney. Said, what's your interest in this property right here? He said, you're just citizens. He said, who are you? You know, that it was classic. And so Judge McConnell, unfortunately, is leaving the bench in August. He's going to Stanford or whatever. But most likely he's going to take the lead in writing a decision on the Campbell decision. And there's a good chance that if he's heard, opposed in the manner you're talking about. Premise, Ben, if have jurisdiction on those roads, right? And we would also go up and we would also go out and open your roof, wouldn't we? We subject the county to tremendous
Judge
Campbell would just lock me up in a federal jail. That's all that would happen.
I'm talking about the school.
I think we've got to choose our battles, not right.
I trespass you, or else you build it. Possibly.
They can't build.
I know you can't put possession of a solvent, but if they have given you rights, they stay at the same time. For both, reimburse us for the cost of whatever we did.
Well, we're going that way. I'm in the process right now, drafting up a letter to Secretary Salazar and the rest of the people in BLM and Interior that these roads are a federal responsibility and liability.
But if you wait too long, I think Ben has a point, and that is endowment is exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Right.
Over
well, let me tell you another thing that it comes into play here. If we take action that mitigates the case of controversy, we can't make a successful quiet title argument that there is. If everything's okay, we're maintaining the road, the monument's making all the management decisions on the Scoot and Paw, And then we try to move forward with our quiet title. It validates their case for controversy because judges don't just decide title out of an exercise. They do it to prevent a harm and an injury. If we're satisfied that we're going to just maintain the road, but we're not going to exercise any management control over it, we have no case for controversy to justify a quiet title.
That isn't one of the points of the quiet title. I'm assuming that's my vote. Therefore, prove to me why it's not my fault. We should turn it over.
Burden of proof in their camp.
Yeah, but let me, and I don't know if either of you know attorneys or if you have an association attorney, but let me point this out. When we do a motion for summary judgment, specific to the Scoot and Paw Road, and the judge rules, denies our motion for summary judgment with an order that we do not have jurisdiction till we go to quiet title, we cannot then go out on the ground and act as though we have jurisdiction.
I
you can't do it.
I still disagree, because that judge, the Judge Campbell case, still, the BLM, the federal government, who were arguing who owns it, was not even a part of that lawsuit. That lawsuit was between the Sierra Club, Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, and Kane County.
Right.
Whatever a judge says, I don't, still does not make the decision whether King County owns the road or the BLM road owns the road.
Yeah, well, what it says is we don't own the road. The county doesn't own the road. As a party to the lawsuit, her order that we don't own the road is binding on us.
But what's the consequence? What's the consequence if we go in?
We should go do that, but you can't put him out there.
Well,
so how are you going to do that? Because he has to abide the law. Yeah, we already tried doing that. We already trespassed somebody. Tell him what happened to the guy who went out there. He's still in litigation. Went out on those roads.
What? Jessup.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah.
Jessup. Dan.
Yeah.
Jessup.
Yeah.
Tell him
what happened to Dan.
That's right. Came out Sawmill Road. Dan's up at U.S. District Court appealing the magistrate ruling, and. Last I heard, it, of course, he got a lot of donations and support, but he's up to the $38,000 for one person to defend his action.
And that's why it's not a one-person thing. No one person's going to win. The county and the accumulative voice of the populace of the county residents and taxpayers is going to carry a whole different amount of weight in federal court and in this battle than any one individual. That's why any one of them can't say, well, I'm going to go out there and run up to Priya, and if they ticket me, I'll go to court and I'll fight. We'll all lose. I think that you as the county commissioner are in a different boat.
Well,
I'm
hanging by a thread.
Yeah.
No.
We'll visit you in jail.
Let me just offer the action that I would ask you to, and that is to continue to demand the BLM. You claim they're your roads. The federal court has now deemed them your roads. You've got your signposts, you've got your number, you've got your regulations. You have the responsibility to maintain that road. You have the liability. You see, they know that because you know the head cuts out there, right? The thick wash, the head cut as you go up the hill. You might know Podunk Bull Rush, the washout of the trail there. You might know that they posted four-wheel drive recommended on all of our V roads, big signs, four-wheel drive recommended. Those are BLM cones and ribbons you see around the head cuts on Cottonwood, the washout. Those are BLM cones. They know they have to let what they're doing. Because they're staying off the roads maintenance-wise. And they're saying, I forgot earlier in their litany of reasons why the county should maintain, they said, we don't have the manpower and the equipment and the finances to do it. And so I wrote in the Sun, that's disingenuous, because that's saying that King County is better off financially than the federal government. It's absolutely ridiculous. They have a cedar.
It's true.
Well, they have a cedar. Well, yeah, but they can make their own money. We can't. They have a road crew over at Cedar. You know, they were over here since these roads have been maintained on Harris Mountain. What in the heck are they doing on Harris Mountain with a road grader, and they're not out on Schooner Paw Road or Holden Road? See what I mean? See, their game plan is by not maintaining the roads, to do just what is happening today. King County, you need to get out there on those roads. The public needs to stand behind the county commission and say, you're managing them, you're closing them now, and you have the responsibility. There's no agreement you have with the county. The county has no obligation. Simply send the county recognition of RS-2477. They have told us they'll be out on the road as soon as they have that jurisdiction, administratively or judicially. If you're not going to give it to them administratively, they're going to get their jurisdiction judicially through quiet title or through Judge McConnell's decision. But the public, see, the public has to get beyond this. Well, we don't know who's right or wrong. We just want our roads maintained.
Right.
You have to study the issue enough
to
know.
It's more than let's assume that we say, hey, BLM, if you say you own the road, then you maintain them. And they're going to rightfully say, we don't have equipment. We historically have not maintained it. We don't have the funding to. I pay gasoline tax that goes through, trickles back to the state, back to the county. I don't want, let's assume we go that direction. Are we looking in the next 5 years or 10 years that we start changing on the state level saying, okay, all that money, state's passing it down to the counties to go and grade the road. Now we're going to give it to the BLM, and the BLM's going to go buy equipment and hire manpower to go and start maintaining these roads.
They 10 months, a year ago, actually, they could have began making arrangements to increase their equipment and their manpower to take care of these roads. They don't want to do that because they want to keep their money for their, you know, what, their science programs, all the other science, all the other programs on the line here. They don't want to be set. They don't want to be saddled with it. It's not that they don't have the money. They have the money. They know they have the liability. How can you have the liability that you see them manifest protection of, right, without having the responsibility to repair that damage? They have it. There's no question about it. That's my point. The people need to start demanding that the BLM get out there and take care of the damage to the roads, watch border the roads, get out there and blade it, or do the right thing and recognize the rights of way that Congress gave King County. That's what.
Can I make a comment?
And we got one hand up we haven't got to, but yeah, I'll get, and then you're absolutely next. Go ahead.
Okay. This is John Harris, you know, and I'm having the difficulty here following everything because this the locks on that end is going in and out. But my comment is, you know, I don't know who has the jurisdiction here because there's argument on both sides, but I do know this, that we owners out there are all paying property taxes out there, and I think some of that property tax is going to maintenance for our roads that are going out there. Also, we're required, if we build anything out there at all, we must pull a permit on it and pay the permit. And I'm assuming some of that money is to go for maintenance of the roads and what have you. In other words, if we're not getting anything out of it, why are we then charged? We shouldn't even be charged for anything. But we also have, right now, we have a tourist season that's here. And tourists are going out there. I think probably every rental car agency out there that rents to the Europeans and whoever else that comes out there, their GPS that shows a direct route right up that road and through the ranch there up to go to Bryce. And so they're out there all the time. Passing through there, and they're getting lost or getting out there late, and they're looking for directions or a place to stay and what have you. There is a public a hazard to those people out there, the road being as rough as it is, and I would think that that those people, if they're coming over there and they're going down the roads that they think are roads that they should be able to drive on, they should be safe. They certainly should be safe for us who are paying taxes, and we got a fight going on back and forth here between the BLM and the county. And we should get the argument with the county too, perhaps, of course, or the BLM. But the BLM did not want to meet with us today at all on this. At first, they said they would, and then they backed out on it. We're kind of two blocked here. We're caught in the middle here on an argument between the two agencies here, but you know, whatever, we need the roads maintained enough for us to get through there in a safe manner. We've had a lot of late rains this year, and the road is getting really tough, getting really rough through there. Pretty soon, it may become impassable. And we're sitting here and we're waiting on two agencies to argue this thing out. And who knows how long that's going to take because the governments just don't operate very fast. And they just want to sit back and argue over the thing. But we as, and I hate to be one of these that uses these comments, but we as taxpayers and landowners out there, they're paying money for the taxes and paying money for building permits and trying to follow any of the rules that the forestry department wants on fires and what have you out there, and we got to do all of that.
we're out there and we're trying to abide by all of this and do what we're supposed to, and we're just not being taken care of on that part. And Mark, I don't know whose job it is and what have you, but that's my grief. And as a member of the association, that's my little part of speaking for the people that are out there. There's a lot of property owners out there, not only in Deer Springs Ranch, but on other properties out there that are, we're being handcuffed here and we're being held hostage over a stinking road over a disagreement by two agencies. And I'll back off and shut up and try to listen. Thank you for your time.
Let me just clarify a couple of things. Your property tax doesn't go into the roads. That goes into other government expenses. The roads are repaired by Class B road funding, which comes to the county from state gas tax. So when you fill up your car with gas, you're contributing to the road maintenance fund. But remember, the critical thing is that in order to maintain a road, we must be able to certify jurisdiction over that road. And we can't do that at the present time.
Yeah, I Mark, I understand your position on that. And yeah, I do buy gas to go over the roads as well out there, and my vehicle burns a lot of fuel when I'm out there on them. But my point is the county itself is collecting taxes, and somebody is not. I don't know if they're fighting for us on this or not. Certainly, I'm sure you got your hands full, and I wouldn't want your job right now. I wouldn't want to listen to the likes of us and others out there. But you understand our problem.
Well, I do, and starting out, I said it's very, very serious. This is the worst thing that I've had to deal with as a commissioner. It actually breaks my heart to see those coaches and the public suffering in the manner they are. But it's just like our lawsuit against the monument grazing. Technically, we lost that lawsuit on the war because they're not being able to eliminate all the cows off the monument. That's where they were going before the ranchers and the county stuck together and challenged the federal government. Dave Hunsaker moved on, and the word is that a good part of the reason that he moved on was because these problems with the county degenerate. And they brought a lot of good people in here. You know, the reason that they closed the Freya Canyon Road was not because of the lawsuit, but because of the Obama administration. They never closed the Freya Canyon Road. And things are going to get nothing but worse. You know, the Clean Water Act, we've got a lot of things. I won't take time to get into that now, but the road issue is symptomatic of the threat to what little sovereignty we have as a county and the rural people, and it really is. And I drive Student Park fairly regularly, it's bad and it's getting worse. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to get too, governmental sounding or something, but you know, for our freedoms, for our rights, people have given up their lives. We have yet to come in with their lives and their legs over in Iraq, Afghanistan right now, and I think all seeing the direction the Obama's administration is going in the first 6 months, if we don't hold the line on what little rights we have, whether they're road rights, water rights, right to graze, rights to carry and bear firearms, we're going to lose. If we capitulate to government ownership and control over all our roads, and we're relegated to simply a role of maintaining federal roads, we're going to lose across the board on all the rights and interests that are important to us as Americans and rural people. But I've left you sitting for way too long. Sorry.
That's all right, Mark. My name is Rich Byrne. I'm a property owner.
Well, I can agree with that.
Folks, it would help us listening on the phone if maybe you could just get a little closer to the speaker. We can barely hear some of you, your good comments.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm at a tangent. I'm at an oblique angle to the speaker, so I'm trying to speak up. What is expeditiously being done to resolve this issue now? I guess that's my question. Is Selma Sierra, is she still old? Letter written to her, but there was no title. Also, Judge Tenna Campbell was reprimanded by a higher court. She made regarding our lack of ability to or.
Selma Sierra is still with State BLM. It's the verbiage out under the Obama administration. Let's see, this question was what again?
Tina Campbell was reprimanded.
Yeah. This hope is that Judge McConnell again admonished Judge Campbell in a decision. It won't come till maybe August.
Is that part of the entire panel bureau?
Part of the Wilderness Society became.
Okay.
And but he's the most studied regarding RS-2477. I don't think I posted. I need to post his decision on the county website. Beautifully written. Just beautifully written.
That's what he's doing.
And you know, we went through that period of signs, passing ordinance, placing signs, acting like we owned the roads when we still could get away with it. All the while, for the BLM. Because we knew what the Hodel decision said, which is the Bird Trail case, it was 10th Circuit. We knew what other case law said that validated RS-2477. And we were surprisingly shocked when the 10th Circuit came out with a favorable decision to it. The problem is, you can't get the federal agencies to comply with case law. You can't get them to do it. There's just no mechanism to force them to do it.
And yet, Tina Campbell set a precedent that it, several others have used since
then. Yeah. So
that's the bad part.
But here, to answer your question, we not only filed a challenge to the monument plan, but we've now filed an en banc that the original panel got it wrong. And they're now saying, well, let's everybody send in briefs and tell us how we got it wrong. So that's still alive. I mean, we don't want to give up on that case. Judge McConnell's panel on Wilderness Society v. Kane just finished our 10th Circuit oral, and if we're going to get a good decision, it's going to come out of that decision. If we're going to get a decision that will really make a difference. In addition to that, filed fight time on 12 of our roads, including Scudamore. That's important. We're fighting for your road rights on Scudamore. Federal attorneys, they want to resolve the issue. Why don't they just let us present our evidence, they present their evidence, and let the judge make a decision? BLM and the county are arguing. I'm spending all this time with you today to try to document. The Fed started this controversy. They're now denying our roads so that they don't have to deal with our property interest across federally managed. What it's about. They're not the villains in this. The federal government is. And so you've got to tell your fellow property owners that this isn't some kind of mud fight between two people. County standing up for your rights under an oppressive action by the federal government. That's what it is, and that's the way we've all got to come together and react to it. You know, and we've got to tell the federal government, bottom line, no matter what they say, right now you claim the jurisdiction of the roads, you deny them the counties, liability and responsibility, take care of what you own, get out there and do it, or simply recognize the county's historic congressionally granted rights of way. They'll be on it as soon as they get that documentation affirming their jurisdiction. That should be the common unified message we all present to the BLM.
And
Mark,
what level and to whom is that?
I'm going to tell you that. Let me finish this up. We need to wrap it up because we're supposed to be done.
Sure.
We need to start the other meeting. Here's the deal with this. If we want this done to be done faster, Ben, all time somebody sees a crack in the road, a broken well, a broken asphalt, somebody have Linda get you that information and all the call right. That's exactly what those green people do. That's what they do constantly, all day, every day. Everybody's calling them up until they get sick of it. And pretty soon you're going to say, well, then just give us the RS-2477. We'll take care of it ourselves. That's what we have to do. Because there's a big body of people, namely the members of the Deer Springs Ranch, we have a lot of interest out there. And we need to push this. Because the people in town aren't always using that road. You're using that road. We're using that road. We need to call. Why do you complain? Anytime something happens, you should be complaining a lot. You spend a lot of time out calling people out.
Trust me when I tell you, dude.
That's right.
Trust me when I tell you. When this first happened a year ago, I wrote Judge Campbell. I was the only one that didn't get a nastygram back. You got them. Everybody else who wrote got a nastygram. I didn't, because I was the very first. I wrote to both senators. I wrote to Congressman Matheson. I communicated heavily with the Wilderness Society and SUA. The attorney for SUA, one of the attorneys for SUA, wrote me back. Problem is, we're dealing with here is everyone makes a logical argument. I have to, I love your pit bull style. I appreciate the effort you put into this. You generate some really nice paper. The problem is we can keep spinning our wheels. And I don't see this. I'm not as optimistic as you are about, Judge Campbell getting admonished or all of these things happening. What I say is, if we can keep writing, I write everybody. I generate serious paper myself. I've written to all of them. They all give me, I get back a form letter. I don't get back any serious action. I call, they direct me to somebody. I know that while they're doing this, the phone's sitting on the ground, or on the desk while they're busy doing something else. I'm not a big believer in the, we should arm rebellion. Change is usually evolutionary, not revolutionary. We're not going to change their minds by going out there and picketing, okay, by any means. What we need to do, all of us need to do, and I'm talking to the commission, I'm talking to everybody, is let's take a step back. Let's do like the Buddhists do, let our ego go. Let's resolve the issue. Let's not try to, we can fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. Until somebody blinks, to be in this constant battle. And the only people that are making out on this thing, they're the ones who, there's 4 years of the Obama administration. We're not going, if we couldn't get it done in the Bush administration, this next 4 years is going to be even tougher. But we got to either take a change in approach or attack this thing from a smart perspective. And I'll call. I'll write. I'll do it. I can do it every week. I'll take the time. I'll get up early and do it. And I'll just keep doing it. And pretty soon, no one's going to pay any attention to me.
They are. That's what you understand. Just had that ride on the Frio Canyon. 14 years. And we finally got the head of the BLM to come down here. Okay, the law enforcement flew from Washington, D.C. to Salt Lake City, and it was because of one complaint. And all it was, we charged them. Okay? they called because we went out on that road and we had federal agents, and I'm going to show you pictures, federal agents standing out there with their armed guns on a ride that was a peaceful ride, and they send out federal agents. Now, does that look intimidating to you?
And then they went
and closed. We charged them, okay? They called us up and asked us. They asked my husband, do you know who's driving a vehicle out there on the dealer's plate? Do you know who it is? He said, yeah, I know who it is. Do you know that they were on this free ride? Yes, I know who it is. He said, who is it? He said, I'm not going to tell you. I don't know who you are. The guy got screaming mad on the phone. He said, I don't know who you are.
What do you mean you charged him?
We charged him with threatening him because he called up and threatened to subpoena him for not telling. He said, I'm not going to tell you who you are. He said, I'm not going to tell you anything, but you bring your badge down to me and show me who you are. He didn't even know who it was. He said, I am who I thought I am, and I'm just going to subpoena, bam, same thing. Hangs up the phone 3 times. But because of the pressure that we put to the sheriff's department, and it went straight to Salt Lake City, BLM, it went to within 24, within 24 hours. And it went to Congress. Do you tell Congress? Might know what happened to be a bit. It hit the fan really quick. And within 2 days, that guy from Salt Lake, from Washington, D.C., flew to Salt Lake to start handling this. If we don't keep the pressure on, we're not going to get answers. We have to keep pressure on.
Isn't what you're saying, isn't that making Ben's argument? That let's take the blade out, blade that road, let's take care of it. Let them come in and charge us, you know, I mean, you don't have to use your blade, we'll use our blade, you know?
I'm saying we can do that, but he can't.
Well, let's say that we go out there and we do it, and then we wait for the feds to come charge us.
Somebody is.
Somebody is already on like 7, and I'll tell you, we're discussing the very thing.
Well, that's the
somebody is playing it with the big tire.
Yeah, right.
Well, I don't know who it is, but that there's somebody that occasionally runs a blade down the road I live on. Okay, I've been out there with my tractor when it gets up in the mud. So there is some help going on. That's not the point, of course. The point is, BLM needs to be out there taking care of these roads. The law enforcement matter is a result of the federal law enforcement action on the creating closure and San Juan artifacts raid. The Sheriff's Association is again seriously taking up the question of federal law enforcement. It's on the commission agenda up in Logan on the 17th of July. The commissioners throughout the state are going to talk about it. Well, this is a war, and I'm not overplaying it. This is a war to protect our interests as the rural people. And if we don't treat it like a war and take on the federal government, make the federal government accountable, it will go over. The Clean Water Act, this Democratic Congress, is going to take out the word navigable. Do you know that means that every drop of rain that falls on Deer Springs is under federal control? Where it wasn't before, when that passes. They're intruding into every facet of our life. And the road is just one of those examples. And I can tell you that when we interact with the federal government to make them accountable, it makes a difference. I know the roads issue. Let me give you another perspective on the roads. The monument plan said the Bria Canyon and all the other roads were closed and restricted in 2000. Every road in King County has been open to the public use, free of federal interference, until the Canyon Road, about, 3 weeks ago now? Mm-hmm. But what you're going to, they've now got their first sign up the Central Bench in Garfield County. They took all their federal signs down, I told you. They now, about this time of this closure of the Creek Canyon, they sign up in Garfield County. They're going to move forward with more signs in Garfield County. They're going to be enforcing the closures in the monument plan. If you're not on a road consistent with this, within 6 months or a year, you're going to be getting a ticket. But if we fight them and we take our roads back, then there are roads to decide what road you can drive on and what type of vehicle you can drive on. Fight's worth fighting. It really is.
You know, the monsoon season is upon us. July and August, thick wash is totally gone. It's gone for anyone to cross it. Am I going to get it for going out there and clearing it so that people can drive across it?
Yeah. We would need, like I said, we have a policy that we will act on. If we get a report that somebody is stranded on a segment of road, the county, we'll go out and get them out with our road crew. I'm not an attorney, so I can't really give legal advice. But under state law, in an emergency, you can go out and to work on a county road. I don't know what the federal law says, but there's actions that likely the federal government would act upon, and there's actions that likely the federal government would act upon.
My understanding from what I'm hearing you say, correct me if I'm wrong, the roads are plain federal roads, not county roads. Being federal roads, now or 25 years from now, to close those roads. So that we do not have access into our land if you're screened. If they close those roads, they can choose also that we will not be able to sell our inholy land in a federal monument to our children or to anybody else. When we die, then that's okay. Am I understanding this correctly?
Well,
we assert our rights.
I don't want to overstate. In fact, you know, I told you today, but I'd show you on the monument map right now where there's not a road going into the Brown Ranch, there's not a road going in.
I remember
the
those roads.
Yeah,
that's
to the
true.
It's right. Not there. It's not on the map. Why? Why? The roads are that long.
Because ultimately they don't
Well, I'm not saying that the feds have their eyes on Deer Spring. I think that's too big a development myself. But these other inholdings in most areas, well, you're not in, you know, you're more in the front country. And so I don't want to say that I think Deer Spring is under threat of a federal takeover. That wouldn't be honest.
Okay.
But I do think some of the smaller inholdings are even on. I think they want to control our state beneficial water rights. I think I've demonstrated that with the lawsuit he has. We know they tried to get rid of all the cows on the monument. We know the NRA is still trying to get rid of all the cows in the NRA. The monument proclamation says existing levels of livestock grazing. But 509A says, with the consent of the holder thereof, the BLM may put Title V in place of the RS-2477, and it may cancel the RS-2477. The BLM says, no, we'll guarantee your RS-2477 in perpetuity. That's federal spin. For to recognize it. It means nothing, you see. And they say, well, we're not going to charge the county. Charge you. Tell me that when they get control of all the roads within the state under FLIPA Title V, they would not charge the counties an administrative fee to manage it. They would. You know, in a lot of respects, we're like the American Indians of the century ago. Right? We are. So,
we appreciate your time today.
Commissioner, I just want to say, even though you and I have talked and some of us disagree, I think that we're all convinced you guys are doing an honest job to really represent it. We appreciate it. Through the winter with this emergency snow removal and stuff, that road crew has been up and above anything they can do. And so, you know, and that's why we want as a leader, a clear plan where we can be unified, give a unified voice to the BLM or the state director, wherever, that will get us on the road, let us know, because we do need to, and I recognize we've got to come across to them as a unified voice to get in.
Let me just put it this. I don't think random things are gonna do any good. You know, Norm Dix, Maurice Hinchey, and Dick Durbin are three of the people in Congress that are supporters of the Red Rock Wilderness Act. That's the other, once they take over our roads, the Red Rock Wilderness Act gets passed, and it can't be invalidated as being open. Because it has a public definition. So the road is directly to Red Rock Wilderness Act. When we did depositions recently, there was a questionnaire from the Resource Committee that Norm Dix heads, asking the BLM about Kane County, about the Brea Canyon Road, about recognition of RS-2477, and said, we don't want you recognizing Kane County's right-of-way. These are members of Congress. It's not Renee, it's not Harry, it's not Larry. They're simply espousing talking points that are coming down, but that Resource Committee threatens, they've done it in the past, threatens Interior's funding. That's what we're fighting for. We're fighting high-level Interior. What I would suggest you do, and I do it every time I'm out, I have my cell phone or I have a camera, pictures of the damage, because it changes over time. And I write files and I send it to the county attorney. Federal maintenance. And I said, can I?
That's
what I'm saying. This will be my final comment. What I would suggest your missing documentation of maintenance problems. Kill them and say that's your responsibility. Talk to them. So, thanks for your time.
Question? Doing traffic studies.
Traffic studies.
You know, for a count where you have all the traffic in there.
I don't think it would necessarily, I think the federal government has just dug its heels in, is just not going to maintain the road. Right now, removing free and informational snap that included the stop sign at Yellow Jacket and Hancock. The engineering study that we base our signage on, saying we're willing to work with you in your making decisions where you need to place your federal sign. Big sign, four drive home. Water that. Whether it needs to move to a traffic study, I don't really think so.
What the amount of traffic is out there, I know in a lot of cases, I did a study for UDOT south of Springville in Payson, where the UP Railroad put in a brand new $1 million. And they've gotten an argument with UDOT that it isn't wide enough. So UDOT sent me down with the equipment, and I did a study down there. Up that the road wasn't wide enough through there for the amount of traffic on it. So, where it wasn't an argument, UDOT said to him, well, next time you go in and work on that crossing, make it wide enough to be legal.
Let me suggest this.
What if I got a hold of Lou Pratt and see if we can come up with a traffic counter and put it on the private of deer springs, right? Because the traffic through deer springs should appear the traffic through the essentially the entire lane, right? Especially if you put it on the northern end of the deer springs private, something like that. Take the traffic count and accumulate that.
And I put it
traffic
on the southern end, which would count the deer springs traffic too.
You know? But I think I'll get a hold of Lou Pratt, and I don't know if we have the counter, we have to get one from UDOT.
We should put it on the on the Cannonville Road, just at the west end, counts the deer springs. A lot of people make, you know, Brent makes 50 trips to deer springs, go out and end up on the river.
That's a good idea. Now, the more I think of it, I think as time goes on, it would become maybe even more important. So, I think
we're having to start meeting.
Well, just one other thing, Commissioner. You need to know that your money that Mike Heckdollar paid, I paid, was more than paid me back with the storm.
You don't know how much effort it took. That was quite an innovative to come up with that snow removal policy and protect the county.
Don't worry.